Monday, November 5th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense. We prefer to laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever possible. Happy Monday to you. Glad to have you with us today. Of course, you know, early Sunday morning, at least here in the United States where I'm at, we turn our clocks back 1 hour to end daylight savings time. Now, we do that to, I don't know, help farmers or save on energy consumption or some silly reason. I don't know exactly why we do it. I haven't ever gotten a completely straight answer, but we still do this odd thing. So, watching a lot of sports over the weekend, and I watched a ton of sports over the weekend. We talked about it last week. There were some really, really good, exciting games going on over the weekend. I am hearing these interviews with either college football players or NFL players, and they were being asked, what were they going to be doing with that extra hour of time that we're all supposedly getting? We turned our clocks back. What are you going to do with the extra hour? Like we really are just looking for ways to spend an extra hour. Like we aren't just going to spend that extra hour laying in bed, telling ourselves, ugh, I know I should just get up, get to work, get to school a little bit early, maybe get some extra work done this week. And eventually, we fall back asleep and are still 5 minutes late, just like every other day of the year. Like nothing really changes. Nothing's really different. We just do the same thing again and again. Daylight savings time means nothing. All it means is we got up and thought to ourselves, I should work and get ahead today. You know full well we're not going to do that. We never do it. That's how it works every single year. Now, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know, I don't know, maybe what you did with all your extra free time that you had. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a list you would like us to cover. Maybe you've got a question. Understand this, it doesn't have to be a national story or anything like that. Maybe you've got a question about a specific team or player or situation. Send it. We'll always take the time to get you an answer, and we just might end up using it on the show. We would love to hear from you. Today on the show, like we do on many Mondays, we spent all weekend watching sports, and we like to take a look back at some of what we learned from what was a very interesting weekend of sports. Now, there was a lot of things that we could learn from it. I never want to just watch sports with an empty head. We want to try to pick certain things out and say, okay, I didn't know that going into the weekend. Now we know that. Let's take a look at some of the things we learned this week. And we're going to start off in the NFL. It was an interesting weekend in the NFL. We did learn a few things from week 9 in the National Football League. First and foremost, we learned there are no longer any unbeaten teams in the NFL. Yes, feel free. Go ahead and pop that prune juice. 1972 Dolphins, who I don't know, every year are just hoping that no one can ever catch them in their one undefeated season that they had. They never want anyone else to match that. Well, the final unbeaten team in the NFL this year is no more because the Los Angeles Rams lost for the first time this season as they went down to New Orleans and they got a heavy dose of quarterback Drew Brees. Drew Brees is playing as good as he has ever played in his career, I think. On Sunday, he throws for 350 yards and had 4 touchdowns. In this game, and it was a crazy game, the Rams and the Saints combined for 970 yards. The Saints get that 45-35 victory. You know, the game was extremely close. It seemed like the Saints would pull ahead, the Rams would catch back up. The Saints would pull ahead, the Rams would catch back up. But as we saw this game going later and later, it was the veteran Drew Brees that kept making all the clutch plays. It wasn't young Jared Goff for the Los Angeles Rams. He struggled a little bit down the stretch. We didn't see any 3-and-outs from LA all game until nearly the final drive. When you have to step up, you have to get things done. Sometimes that veteran leadership does pay off. And I'm watching these New Orleans Saints. And I don't know, they are starting to look like a team that you're going to have to deal with down the stretch. That offense we know is very, very dangerous. When they have that running game going, And Drew Brees can effectively use the play action. He has some weapons he can go to downfield, and we know how accurate he is. But the thing that is starting to impress me about the New Orleans Saints more so is the fact that that defense is getting better, and they're getting better against the run. That is always key, because if a team can run against you, they can just keep Drew Brees and that offense off the field. They are getting much, much tougher against the run lately. Now that they win that game against the Rams, just kind of put that in the back of your mind. They now have a tiebreaker against those Rams, if needed, in the postseason. And that could be huge, because when it comes down to home field advantage, we know how tough it is to beat the Saints down in that dome. We know how good Drew Brees is. Hey, coming back, we still have a ton to get to in the NFL. A few teams are starting to get better, and it looks like they could make a push into the postseason. And in college football, it was Statement Saturday. What statements did we see get made over the weekend? Plus, we also have a few interesting things to talk about in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. So let's continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports and staying in the NFL. We learned that the Atlanta Falcons are starting to scrape their way back into a playoff race after starting the season at just 1-4. And we're all kind of looking at the Falcons like, what happened to you? Just last year, you're in the playoffs. Just last year, you're giving the Philadelphia Eagles, the eventual champions, all they want in the playoffs. Comes down to a final incomplete pass, and they just barely lose. And then to start this season, we're seeing the Falcons going 1-4 and saying, what in the world is going on? Why can't you get going? They have some talent. We always know Matt Ryan has a ton of weapons, but the Falcons couldn't get going. Now, Atlanta has won 3 games in a row, and the game yesterday might have been one of the more impressive wins they've had this season. The Atlanta Falcons go into Washington yesterday and stomp the Washington Redskins 38-14. Matt Ryan looked as good as he has lately. He throws for 350 yards, and the Falcons put up nearly 500 yards of offense. I'm not ready to be all in on the Falcons yet, but they're now back to 500. And when I look at their remaining schedule, it's not that tough. They are now 4-4. And looking at that schedule, you can find 5, 6, maybe even 7 wins if things break right for the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, if Atlanta gets 10 wins, they're definitely going to be in the mix for the postseason. And just a few weeks ago, that is not what we were thinking. We were looking at Atlanta and saying, man, you might be one of the worst teams. They're creeping back into it. You know, one other thing we learned in the NFL this weekend is that Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell, he may have totally screwed himself. Now, since he still has not showed up for work this season, we found out over the weekend that the Steelers can now place the transition tag on Le'Veon Bell following the season, which would allow Pittsburgh to match any offer sheet that he would receive from another team. But Bell has to report by the Tuesday of week 11 or on November 13th in order to play the season. If he does, then Pittsburgh probably won't use that franchise tag on Bell again this offseason, because a third franchise tag would just cost way too much. But that transition tag is an option that would be available to Pittsburgh that could hinder Bell's ability to go look around and just be a completely unencumbered free agent. Bell is giving up right now $855,000 for every single week that he doesn't sign that franchise tag. Of course, he's been saying that he's going to come back and rejoin the team, but I don't know whether to believe anything he says or not. Now, I don't think the Steelers would put the transition tag on Bell. I think they probably are looking at the situation and say, you know what? As talented as he is, we're better off without him. He costs too much money. We're doing just fine. Let him go somewhere else. But if Pittsburgh really wants to be jerks about this, if they really want to say, hey, you want to screw your teammates? You want to screw the franchise? How about we do this to you? How about we put the transition tag on you? And then we can kind of make you sweat all offseason. Because now you're not truly a free agent. If we want to, we can match any offer and bring you back again. I don't think they'll do that. But they can If they want to be jerks, they definitely can be. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Steelers seem to be getting rolling on the field. Yet another reason why they don't need to deal with his foolishness. They started the season at 1-2-1 with that goofy tie they opened the year with. But now, the Pittsburgh Steelers have won 4 games in a row, and 3 of those games have been within their own division. Pittsburgh is now 5-2-1. They are in first place in the AFC North. Offense is getting going. Ben Roethlisberger took kind of a rough hit on Sunday, but it looks like he's getting going. And what can you say about running back James Conner? All the guy does is produce. He doesn't talk. He's not getting in trouble off the field. He's not getting injured. He just goes out, does what they ask of him, and gets the job done. On Sunday, James Conner put up another 100-yard rushing game, and he scored another touchdown receiving. I don't know. The Pittsburgh Steelers are starting to now look like the team that we kind of expected them to be in the offseason, but we hadn't really seen it as the season started. Maybe they're just best to just get rid of Le'Veon Bell and move past all of this because they are rolling now. But again, they can be a pain to Le'Veon Bell if they want to. Let's switch over to college football because it was Statement Saturday over the weekend, and we learned a number of things in Statement Saturday. There were some big marquee matchups over the weekend. Got to talk a little bit of college football, and one of the first things that I learned was that Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, well, he's actually human. And I was starting to wonder if he was human or if he was just some sort of robot that Nick Saban had cooked up in the lab. Because on Saturday, we actually saw Tagovailoa throw the first interception of the season. Yes, it's taken this long. He threw the interception on Saturday night in that big game against LSU. But what he showed following that interception, I don't know, it kind of has made me think maybe this kid is an NFL quarterback. He just might be. So far this season, we know how impressive Tua Tagovailoa has been. But he hasn't even played an entire game because Alabama is up so much on their opponents that he ends up coming out in the second half. He doesn't ever play the fourth quarter. Well, on Saturday, against number 3 LSU, Tagovailoa threw his first interception of the season in the first half with the Crimson Tide up just 9-0. And you know what? It didn't seem to bother him one bit. He responds to the interception by taking Alabama right down the field for another first half touchdown prior to halftime. And the Tide cruised past LSU 29-0. And they kind of made it look easy. Now, I know Tua is just a sophomore. And we need to see a lot more from him. And I also know he's only listed at 6'1", but when I'm watching this kid play, and again, you see him respond to some adversity, which we hadn't really seen. He hadn't faced any adversity this year. You see him respond in the way that you're hoping he would. And you're watching his accuracy, and you're watching his ball placement, and how he always seems to find the correct receiver and hit them right where he should. I don't know. I was just looking at Tagovailoa as just, he's another Alabama quarterback. You know how a lot of these Alabama quarterbacks are. The Andrew Zows and the John Parker Wilsons and the Brody Croyles. And you say, well, he's just a guy. He's playing on the best team in the country. But I don't know if he can really go on to the NFL and do anything. I'm starting to wonder about that now because of how accurate he is. There is a part of me that is looking at him and saying, maybe he could be that Russell Wilson type. Maybe he could be more of a Drew Brees than an AJ McCarron, say. That makes him very, very intriguing. Wow. You want to talk about Statement Saturday. Alabama made a huge statement on Saturday. They kicked LSU up and down that field. You know, we also learned that as impressive as Alabama has been, and like I just said, they have been wowing everyone. They look almost unbeatable. But the Clemson Tigers, I don't know, don't overlook Clemson just yet. They seem to have overcome that quarterback controversy they had with senior Kelly Bryant when they benched him and then he got mad and left and freshman quarterback Trevor Lawrence took over. Well, Trevor Lawrence struggled in that first game. But since then, he is rolling. Since that tight win, when he got knocked out of the game against Syracuse, Lawrence has returned to go 74 for 113. So he's completing 65% of his passes. He has nearly 900 yards in those games. He has 9 touchdowns and just 1 interception. And more important, Clemson is starting again to look like the team we were expecting them to be this year. We knew that defense was really, really good. What we didn't know, well, how's the offense going to be? Because Kelly Bryant, more conservative, more of a run first guy, not a guy that attacks you down the field. Well, Trevor Lawrence is that guy. The Clemson Tigers have now beaten their last 4 opponents by a combined score of 240 to 36. Now, my only concern about Clemson is that they play in the ACC, and the ACC is just so bad. Clemson is not being tested, as you can see by that combined score I just said. They're just having cupcakes every single week. I mean, it's not their fault. That's just the conference. That's just who they're playing. That's just who's on their schedule. So they're not going to be tested by any good teams unless they reach that college football playoff. And it always does kind of seem when you've waltzed through your regular season and you haven't had to play anyone all year, when you finally get in that dogfight and you finally face that adversity, I don't know, sometimes we have seen that come back to bite. Even some of the really, really good teams that we have seen get in that playoff, hey, they've just never been in that situation. It is all new to them. Clemson is looking really, really good. We'll see if they can keep that up down the stretch. Something else we learned in college football this week, you know, in week 7, the Georgia Bulldogs were handled by the LSU Tigers 36-16. But we learned this weekend that Georgia actually learned some things from that loss to LSU. Because since that loss, you can see the Georgia Bulldogs have refocused on running the football and on playing some defense. Last week, they dominate number 9 Florida by rushing the ball for nearly 200 yards. That's on a pretty decent Florida defense. This week, on Saturday, they continue that trend by going into Lexington to face Kentucky with the SEC East on the line. And I'm still having a hard time believing that was the case, but it was. And they proceeded to outrush the Kentucky Wildcats, a team known for running the football better than everyone else they've played. Georgia outrushes them 331 yards to 84. Georgia beats Kentucky 34-17. And of course, now they are the favorite to face Alabama in the SEC championship. Now, if Georgia was somehow to upset Alabama, make no mistake, Georgia's going to the college football playoff. If you win that SEC, you're in. Georgia is finally becoming that team who, again, we thought they should be this year. You looked at them on paper and you said, you've got a ton of talent. You've got running backs. You've got quarterbacks. Their offensive line has been banged up and that has hurt. You've got a ton of defense, but it's taken a while for them to figure some things out. I think they learned a huge lesson against LSU because LSU out-physicaled them. And I think since then, Georgia has changed things. Georgia has started to tweak the way they play. Hey, we're not going to be this pass-happy finesse team. We're going to have to run the ball, and we're going to have to play defense. That has made a huge change. Finally, in college football, we have learned it is now official. The University of Michigan is a legitimate playoff contender. What? Yes, it is a real possibility. After that opening week loss to Notre Dame, where Michigan lost by 7 points, the Wolverines have rolled off 8 straight wins. And on Saturday, they got another big win as they curb stomp Penn State at home 42-7. And honestly, this game wasn't that close. Once again, it is Michigan's defense that is getting it done. They hold the highest scoring offense in the Big Ten to just 7 points and only allowed 186 total yards. Now, I know at the beginning of the year, we're all kind of looking at Michigan and we see them get beat by Notre Dame and we're saying, hey, we're probably done with Jim Harbaugh. He's probably going to go south. That's a pretty tough schedule. The Big Ten is going to be very difficult this year. It's going to be very competitive this year. We just might be done with Jim Harbaugh. We might not have to listen to him anymore because how great is Notre Dame really going to be? What, are they going to be a playoff contender or something? Well, now that's all changed because Notre Dame looks like a playoff contender And the Big Ten that we thought was going to be so tough has turned out to be not all that tough. Penn State is struggling. Their defense specifically is struggling. Ohio State is struggling. And wow, do they miss Nick Bosa? That defense does not look great. Against Nebraska on Saturday, Ohio State looks very average. Wisconsin, right now, is not even leading their own division. Northwestern is. That is the kind of year that we are seeing in the Big Ten. Everything right now is breaking exactly right for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. I know we thought we were done with him. That is not the case. He might be having his best season, and really, not even all that close, since he returned to Ann Arbor. Now, left on the schedule for Michigan, they've got Rutgers. Yeah, I think they'll get that one. They've got Indiana, and then they've got a trip to Columbus to face those hated Ohio State Buckeyes. Then, if they could beat Ohio State for the first time since Harbaugh has been in Michigan, they're probably going to play in the Big Ten championship game against who? Northwestern or Wisconsin? Yeah, this Michigan thing of going to the college football playoff, it actually might happen, because on statement Saturday, the Michigan Wolverines made a major statement in pounding Penn State. They are a legitimate contender, and I don't know that any of us thought that, especially not after that opening week. Hey, coming back, we did actually learn a few things in the NBA this weekend and in Major League Baseball. In the NBA, LeBron James is getting some more help in Los Angeles, or is he? Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, and I hate to bring this up, I really do, but Christmas is coming quickly. I know you don't want to think about that, but it is coming quickly. You might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. November's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Laboratory. Some truths can only be found under a microscope. Countless experiments in the Loot Crate Laboratory have yielded a collection of cutting-edge gear that exists beyond mortality. Are you ready for the next step? Hey, November's Loot Crate theme features items from BioShock, Westworld, and Better Call Saul. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate. You can choose from a huge selection of crates. You can pick a monthly subscription of crates that you can order or skip every single month if you like what they're offering. Or you can just go over to Loot Crate and pick individual items to order. And trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose each and every day. So let's move over to the NBA. And I learned a couple of things in the NBA over the weekend. And one of the things that I learned was that the New Orleans Pelicans are one of the first teams to crash back to earth in this, albeit very young, NBA season, much like they did last year. The Pelicans got off to a quick start. They were 4-0 starting off. But remember, this NBA season is so long. This NBA season that is running right now in November, it literally lasts until the summer. That's how long it is. We just finished Halloween. This season's going to last till summer. Can't get too excited about some of these things. And the Pelicans coming out of the gate quickly. Starting off 4-0, we already had people saying, hey, the Pelicans might be the top seed in the West. Yeah, slow down. Because don't look now, but the New Orleans Pelicans have lost 5 games in a row. Now, I'm not going to rot the Pelicans off. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, now they're done. No, that's just as big of an overreaction. I just maintain, again, that we can't get too high or too low about any of these teams yet. When they started the season, the Pelicans managed to beat Houston, who we know is struggling, Sacramento, who we know is young, the Clippers, who are the Clippers, and the Brooklyn Nets, who again are the Brooklyn Nets. Not the greatest list of teams that New Orleans has beaten, right? But then, New Orleans has now lost to Utah, Denver, Golden State, Portland, and San Antonio. Hey, there's no shame in losing to those teams. Those are all pretty solid Western Conference teams this season. Now, I expect New Orleans to bounce back. But when they started the season 4-0, everyone was getting really, really excited about how good they were looking this year, and they just might be a top seed. Just wait. Just wait. It's way too long of a season to get too wrapped up in any of this. I do think New Orleans will be okay. But you can see, when they have faced the big dogs in the Western Conference, yeah, they haven't gotten it done. Not yet. We'll see if that can get better. But they're not ready to be the big dog in the West just yet. We'll have to slow down on that. We also learned that after being bought out of his contract, big man Tyson Chandler is going to join the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Chandler is 36, and they're saying he is going to be a backup to Lakers starting center JaVale McGee. And we know the Lakers are desperate for some size inside and for some defensive rebounding. Here's what LeBron James had to say about Tyson Chandler coming over after being bought out by the Phoenix Suns. We love the fact that we're going to get another veteran, a guy who plays hard, a guy who's very smart, and another champion to add to the champions that we have in the system here today, and adds depth in our front court, which we have had trouble with at times. Now, of course, if you know anything about Tyson Chandler, he is a native of that Southern California area, and he's a smart veteran that can bring some size to a lineup that we know desperately needs it. They don't have anyone that can consistently defend a big man. They don't have that anywhere on the team. And I don't want to hear JaVale McGee because he's just not that guy. And I don't want to hear LeBron James. He's just not that guy either, especially at this stage in his career. Maybe Tyson Chandler gives them a little lift in that regard. But if the Lakers are going to be asking Tyson Chandler to play much more than, I don't know, 15 minutes a night, yeah, you're going to have a bad time. Because I'm just not sure he's capable of playing quality minutes for an extended period of time. I think he can come in and do it in spots. But at 36 years old, if you leave him in there too long, you're going to start seeing the youth and you're going to start seeing the athleticism of some of these young, talented players, especially in that Western Conference, just going by him. He just can't keep up. Try to think of the last time that you saw Tyson Chandler. He's been with Phoenix. Try to think of the last time you saw him do anything important defensively. Like, it's been a while. And like I said, I like Tyson Chandler. I like a lot of what he brings to the table. As long as, again, you're not looking for him to come in and be the savior. And hey, now the Lakers are really going to be that top five seed in the West. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Good signing for the Lakers? Yeah, I think it is. Great signing for the Lakers? I doubt it. Because at that age, I just don't think he's that guy. Hey, if this were 10 years ago, hey, that's a great signing. Because Tyson Chandler would be that guy they could plug in there. Just probably not right now. Finally, staying in Southern California, but switching over to Major League Baseball, we learned that pitcher Clayton Kershaw is going to be staying with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He signs a 3-year deal worth $93 million. Now, that extension replaces the 2 years and $65 million remaining on his 7-year, $215 million extension that Kershaw signed back in January 2014. Now, Kershaw is now 30, and he said staying with the Dodgers also allows him the opportunity to answer some of his critics who say he hasn't been as dominant as he used to be. Here is the quote from Clayton Kershaw. "It gives me a chance to prove a lot of people wrong. I think this year especially, maybe rightfully so, there's been a lot of people saying that I'm in decline or I'm not going to be as good as I once was. I'm looking forward to proving a lot of people wrong with that." Now, personally, I'm a fan of Clayton Kershaw. I think he does things the right way. I think he's a good guy. I think he goes out there and a lot of times he gets blamed for his lack of run support. There's been a number of times that he's gone out and played really, really well, even in the postseason, but he's gotten blamed because the rest of his teammates haven't stepped up to help. I also know there's been times he's gone out in the postseason and yes, he's gotten shelled. But I do still think Kershaw has some very, very good years left. But you could see this year in the World Series that he did struggle. He didn't have his best stuff. He didn't have that fastball. I think that's going to come back. But you could see against Boston, he needs to get that back up over 90 miles an hour because we could see when it wasn't at that level, when he wasn't able to throw at that speed, hey, Boston was just sitting on it. He was much, much more hittable. So I get what he's saying. Hey, I'm going to prove a lot of people wrong, and he very well may, but he does need to get back to what he used to be. He does need to find that speed on that ball because he looked much more like a mere mortal in the World Series against Boston than he has in the past. That's one thing he's going to have to get back to. Hey, you know, Mondays always feel so rushed that tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we'll have to take a look back at maybe some winners and losers from the weekend in college football and the NFL. Of course, in such a big weekend with a number of great games, we had a number of both. And as we always do, we'll have to make sure that we keep you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. We will get to all that tomorrow. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, that tell a friend, that tell a coworker, that tell maybe a relative, thank you so much. It is genuinely appreciated. Hey, if you are not subscribed to the Daily Dose, wherever you listen, please make sure you click that little subscribe or follow button so that you don't miss a single episode. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday.